Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm just going to go out and get ahead of this right now. Inconsistent Sunburn, great band name. Dibs. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Get to talk to Maria Stackhouse in a little bit. LPGA golfer, Stanford alum, because Janae Agwumike dictates that we have a certain amount of Stanford folks on the show every quarter to fulfill that. In all seriousness, looking forward to talking to her coming up in this hour. Janae Agwumike going to join us at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, out here where we are on the left coast. So very excited about that. We've also got the return of On Thin Ice right now. Ryan Matlack, our intrepid producer, has his hands full today. He is doing any and everything. He's already produced another show today. He's producing our show today. And yet Matlack is still going to summon the energy within him to give you the best hockey analysis that this network has to offer here. Only Janae and Golic Jr. is going to give you this kind of hockey coverage and need be coverage of James Harden should anything about his status change during this. Matlack, I'm sorry to do this to you, but you realize that no matter what you've got planned, we are, by the gods of sport here at the Worldwide Leader, bound by law to break in with James Harden news as a part of this hockey segment if it goes live that he's playing in this game. You got that right?
Absolutely. We're equal opportunity for all sports. We want to make sure that everybody understands. I'm not one of those hockey guys that says, well, you know, he would have made it through to the second round. He wouldn't have gone out with cramps. Not that guy. Every athlete's different. Every sport's different. We want to give a shout out to James Harden if we get an update. So we will be ready to stand by on that.
Ryan Matlack is not like other hockey guys. He's a cool hockey guy. So he's ready for that one. So that's coming up in about 10 minutes here. Always excited to bring that back anytime we got Ryan on the show here. I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of Molson's references during the course of this. But right now, Janae Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We've mentioned the story of this entire last 18 hours has been what the hell is going to happen with James Harden's hamstring, right? And this unfortunately feels way too familiar because we all sat here. We had a moment during this last break where we're looking and goes, you know what? I don't know if we mentioned a single player on the Milwaukee Bucks during that first hour. Like, that is how all-encompassing the injury news has been during this NBA postseason. And that's a shame because so many people are going to look at what we've got this postseason, and we've already seen people talk about, well, we could still have an LA-New York NBA Finals, but it'd be the Clippers and the Nets, or you could end up with the Jazz and the Hawks or the Jazz and the Sixers, and people make all these ratings jokes. Like, I think quietly what we've seen from all these basketball teams is, yes, the brand names are a little bit different at this point. We don't have LeBron James in the NBA playoffs after the first round for the first time in his career. We know they missed it 2 years ago, but LeBron had never lost in a first round before this year. So we're into something new. There have been some changes in the way that we're digesting all this. The Golden State Warriors that we had for so long didn't even make it out of the play-in tournament. But I don't think the brands are really an issue because what we've gotten in all these games, whether or not, and we'll see, we'll do the ratings thing, but whether or not the Fairweather fan is brought in on this, if you've tuned into the basketball, when players have been healthy, it's been really good, like dominant stretches of Joel Embiid, a Utah Jazz team that is going to make me stay up way too late during next year's season because now I'm bought in to Donovan Mitchell. Denver Nuggets have the reigning MVP now in Nikola Jokic. The Atlanta Hawks are quietly going to maybe challenge, like we said all this stuff about the Knicks being a free agent destination. Look at what the Hawks have built. Look what Nate McMillan came over and built in the second half of that season. Trae Young is a star there. All of these things that have come up during the course of this playoff run, getting fans back in the arena, there's been this big groundswell of support, and the only thing that keeps letting the air out of the balloon is what we keep having to go back to. Because I would like to talk about, all right, how are the Bucks going to exploit this tonight with the Brooklyn Nets, but what we keep end up having to focus on, because right, wrong, or indifferent, and I'm so used to this in the sport of football where attrition is the thing we go by. Hell, look at the last Super Bowl. Now, Patrick Mahomes' greatness made us all idiots and forget that you need an offensive line to win. But in that game, the Kansas City Chiefs were too injured up front to run. Tampa Bay exploited it, and the game was about that simple for as complicated as we like to make sports sometimes. And unfortunately, this year's NBA playoffs has reeked of a similar smell. Because when we look around, we read you the stat yesterday, and now that Kyrie Irving is out for Game 5 for the Brooklyn Nets, it is true. Seven players, seven NBA All-Stars, seven different NBA All-Stars have now missed at least a game in this postseason. That is the most in NBA history. So we've had to factor that in. And you had the Anthony Davis groin, where, yeah, he might have played in that last game, but we saw the way that he was moving around out there. LeBron James, while he wasn't missing games necessarily, was clearly limited on that ankle. Chris Paul and that shoulder were the defining factor of a first series and something they're still going to be managing through this postseason run. And Joel Embiid now is the latest for the 76ers, who, yeah, he's not off the court. He had to leave the court for a little bit in game four of that series that the Hawks win. But ultimately, it gets to a place where even if guys aren't off the court in a way that's already been overwhelming, it's not only injuries out there. Mike Conley, I didn't even mention him off the court for the Utah Jazz, but you get the idea. Donovan Mitchell, all these guys all banged up in significant ways. And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen to some extent every year. Like, we saw this undo the Golden State Warriors a few years ago, a team that Kevin Durant was a part of. We've seen this happen time and time again, but for it to be so all-encompassing, for it to be so much a part of the story time after time in this postseason, it's made it really difficult to latch on to all these good things involved. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Like, again, Drew Holiday was on the NBA on ESPN Radio after their last game against the Knicks. Drew Holiday talking about what they need to do to get a win on the road this series. We should be talking more about Drew Holiday, who is out here. Let's, you know what? Let's listen to Drew Holiday's words about this, because it's important to the actual on-court game.
I think we got to win at, we got to win on the road if we want to win the series. And they're a tough home team. When they're at home, you can feel the energy. You can feel the whatever it is in Brooklyn, them screaming Brooklyn, you can feel all that energy. So we kind of have to look at it as a mentality. It's us against the world. And even though we love being home ourselves and playing at home, we got to bring just a step notch, another notch up from our energy and be able to get this win.
And he's right. He's right. He knows exactly what this is. Ryan Rucco, who was on with us earlier, ESPN play-by-play announcer, play-by-play over for the YES Network, does a lot covering this Brooklyn Nets team, said this is the biggest game since they moved into the Barclays Center coming up tonight. And part of the reason it feels big is because now with the injury, what we do instead of preparing for a game where it went from the storyline of, all right, well, can Giannis and the Bucks, is this finally their walk through the playoffs? Have injuries now set the Bucks in the spot where just by being the healthiest, they get to move forward? Now we shifted first from, can Kevin Durant do enough to be the hero on his own, to, all right, is James Harden going to come back and have a hero game? Because we all want to. We all want to turn everything into the Jordan flu game. Like, we all want to believe, and we see this, and we lionize instances where athletes battle through that stuff. I bet we got a better chance of James Harden's situation ending up looking like Anthony Davis. And I don't wish that for him. I want him to be out there. Because this postseason, despite the fact that, yeah, we joke about no one in New York actually liking the Nets, or people in general afraid and hating that Death Star team, or how different, you know, the Utah Jazz, are they even interesting? The Clippers, are they just going to do the same old thing? It's been really good basketball more often than not when we haven't had stars completely ravaged by injury in this series. And so, yes, it is going to be exciting to watch James Harden tonight, but it's also going to be exciting to see how PJ Tucker gets officiated tonight guarding Kevin Durant after we heard complaints from the Brooklyn Nets head coach, from Steve Nash, saying that it bordered on non-basketball in all these areas. And I don't want us to confuse this when we look back and try and summarize this NBA postseason. When people inevitably do the things, when they release the ratings numbers and try and make this a, well, look what happens when you don't have LeBron James, or see, the NBA's got a problem with these. No, the problem would be that the star players weren't available enough because you came back off a short turnaround off a pandemic bubble season. That would be the only problem in all of this thing. All right, we're going to keep an eye on the James Harden situation, because that is still going to be the biggest swing state in this game, just like injury has been the biggest swing in every other game so far in the NBA postseason. But coming up next, we also got to drop the gloves, put the skates on, and head over to the ice here with Brian Matlack next on ESPN Woo! Radio and ESPN Plus. Yeah, baby!
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chenae going to be back with us hopefully in about 10-15 minutes here. Busy day as she gets ready. Two games for the LA Sparks during this week, which means two opportunities for me to get thrown out of the convention center here in Los Angeles. If you can't tell by the scenics, for those watching on ESPN Plus, I am out here sweating profusely, getting sunburned and strange. I legitimately had, for anyone that's seen Tommy Boy, when Richard hits him with the piece of wood in the truck outside a prehistoric forest, I have on one side of my face Nothing. Normal face. On the other side of my face, I've got a little bit of sunburn in one spot. Not here or here so much, but right here. So that's how I'm living out here right now, because I'm struggling with the sun. And so we need to cool things down here, because before we do any more news about James Harden, whose status has gone from out to doubtful to questionable to hopeful, which I don't even think is a real status. I think that's just how we feel. We got to ground ourselves in what's really important right now. It is time, yet again, often imitated, never duplicated around here, the most comprehensive coverage of the NHL that we are going to provide here at ESPN Radio. Our friend and producer, Ryan Matlack, is going to take you inside the NHL postseason to figure out who is who and what's what as we keep marching along towards Lord Stanley's Cup. It is time for another round of On Thin Ice. Woo!
Oh, Junior, wonderful toss. Really appreciate that out of you. That's right, everybody. If you're feeling the heat, come inside the rink, cool down, sit in the bleachers, and let's go through what's happened over the last week or so in the NHL. Producer Jerry was wise to jump ship when it comes to the Boston Bruins. Unfortunately, he landed on the team that just got knocked out a few games after them, the Colorado Avalanche. And speaking of the Colorado Avalanche, hit it, Connor.
Number three.
Roadblock in the desert, the Vegas Golden Knights. Unbelievable turnaround in this series. They wheel off four straight. So difficult to play against in Vegas. Really, who would have thought, Junior, that a rink in the desert could be one of hockey's best atmospheres? But that's what it is. You could feel it last night, and they looked very sure of themselves when they took on the Habs. They get a big win in game number one. Someone I want to shout out, Cole Caulfield, turned 20 in January, scored a big goal for the Habs. Wasn't enough to get them through, but he played fantastic. Carey Price made probably the best save of the playoffs. Beautiful windmill save, glove save in the second period. Highway robbery. Marc-Andre Fleury gave us a beauty tendy save. Stacking the pads. Hey, Junior, extra maple syrup! As my favorite goalie, JC Petit, says, stack them up. That was always probably my favorite save slash play in hockey, was the stacking of the pads. It was wonderful. Number two.
Number two.
Can I actually throw a knuckle puck at you here, Junior? This is not playoff-related, bit of off-season news. Shout-out to Gerard Gallant, becoming a new head coach of the Rangers. Son of Prince Edward Island, where many a McCain French fry come from. They're delicious. Guy was dropped off at the airport curb by the Panthers. Fired by the Knights after Buddy took them to the Cup Final in their first year as a expansion team. And now he gets a good opportunity to coach up a young team. Very excited for him. Number one!
Number one.
It's becoming more and more apparent that the New York Islanders are built for this type of hockey. Tough, gritty, smart defensive game against Tampa Bay in game number one, taking down the defending champs. Their best defender, Semyon Varlamov. He has been great, keeps it rolling. Nice try, no goal off. Game two, puck drop at 8 tonight. Junior, back to you.
Whew, you know what, Matt, like, feeling pretty good about that one here. An exemplary job, as always, here. Chene Angola Jr. owes you a debt of gratitude. Couple things jumped out, though. One, you mentioned, and I know we say it tongue-in-cheek, that somehow a rink in the desert has managed to do all this, but when you really think about it, the Vegas Golden Knights, certainly no one could have predicted the early success that overwhelmingly, but it feels like, Ryan, they might deserve credit for the boom of sports that's probably going to hit Las Vegas now, right? Because now Vegas has a football team. We're talking about putting a bunch of other stuff there. Like, it feels like the Golden Knights probably paved the way for everything we're about to see sports-wise in Vegas.
Yeah, I think everybody knew that wagering side effect was going to be certainly positive, and side effect not the right word there, but you know what I mean. Like, it's certainly something that they knew that there would be a surge because of so many people that gamble on hockey, but I don't think anybody expected the amount of fans to come in from other cities, Junior, from other cities in Canada. I mean, believe me, if any Canadian fan sees Vegas on their team schedule, they're making a trip to Vegas. So I think there's been a boom in that way, and I think that's going to just continue with the NFL. Out of market fans are going to come in, and same if they ever get any other franchise. Of course, we can't figure out about the Aces either. So it's not just a hometown thing. You get a lot of other fans coming in, which even makes it more impressive that they can still have a home court, home field advantage, home ice advantage like the Knights do.
Every surface covered here in this segment, as we mentioned. Ryan Matlack is not like your normal hockey analyst. He's a cool hockey analyst here. And you're right.
What's up, fellow kids?
And we have the Las Vegas Aces, as you mentioned, Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, also the owner of the Aces. So there's some good Aces. So there's some good synergy building in that city right now. But Matt, like the other one that really jumped out to me, you mentioned the Isles here. It feels like based on the run that they're putting together, we're going to have to get our guy, noted NFL analyst, but also now lifelong diehard New York Islanders fan, Damian Woody in here. You've talked puck with Damian Woody before, Matt, like, and the guy just lights up like a Christmas tree.
He's all about it. He's gone to a few playoff games. He came on the ESPN on Ice podcast before it was canceled a few years ago. He was great. He loves it. He's learning the game. Looks great in an Islander sweater. So if anybody else wants to do what D-Wood does and become a huge fan, I don't even call the bandwagon. Like, he is true to this at this point. Really impressed to see how he's taken on the Islanders and how the Islanders have taken on him. This is a good thing for hockey teams to be able to capitalize off the celebrity of some of their fans.
It is incredible. Damian, well, listen, there's nothing better, too, than a big guy in a hockey sweater, right? For anyone that has been out there and around it, we've seen what's gone on in Nashville with the Predators, Taylor Lewan and the rest of the Tennessee Titans drinking beers off catfish in the crowd. Matt, like, what's the animal that the next, like, if we could get Damian Woody, me, and a couple other guys into the Islanders, you know, into the barn there at an Isles game, what animal should we be drinking beers off of?
I can see you guys. That's a great point. How about like when you go to a pig roast? I can do it. I can see see like a pig roast being just a bunch of linemen. Absolutely. Good eats.
Bunch of linemen drinking off a pig.
Yeah, a little Molson on that. Nice brine of Molson or Labatt or, you know, Alexander Keith's, which is always my choice when I want to pay a few extra toonies. Yeah, no, it's I think those are your options there for sure. And of course, extra maple syrup.
Extra maple syrup. I do miss loonies and toonies, man. I did my little stint in the CFL up there in Montreal, and carrying around that funny money was a good time. Hey, Matlack, good job, man.
You too, man. Appreciate it. Drop the puck. Let's go. Big game tonight.
The NHL on Ice music following Ryan Matlack around the studio right now has become my favorite subplot of On Thin Ice, which, again, often imitated, never duplicated.
Hold on. Let's try something. All right, got to go to the bathroom real quick.
It follows him everywhere he goes right now. In Bristol, Ryan Matlack is walking to the bathroom and the ESPN on ice off music is following him through the office right now. God help anyone in his path. All right. Oof. I'm going to try and compose myself here right now. Coming up next, though, we'll shift back to the NBA. We will see if the NHL on ice music follows us back to the NBA, because we got to take a look at this Hawks series against the 76ers. We know Joel Embiid's knee has been the swing state, but coming up next, what we saw out of Trae Young, continuing to build on something. Do we have to have a conversation for them that we thought was just going to be limited to the New York Knicks this offseason? We'll get to that after this word from Dollar Shave Club. Now, guys, your dad's razor older than you are. Like, really old. Like, belongs in a museum old. Like, that old. Well, stop your dad from shaving with that rusty old razor. It's probably giving him nicks and cuts all over his face. Get him something new for Father's Day. And guys, I don't know if you know this, Father's Day is coming up soon, like this weekend soon. So get right with the Lord, get right with dad, and make sure you get right with a DSC six-blade razor that's perfect for an extra close, precise shave. My dad's rocking a beard for the first time in his life. I am shepherding him through how to edge this thing up, how to make sure you've got it in the right spaces on your face, how to avoid the neck beard. All of this a lot easier with the DSC six-blade razor. Dollar Shave Club's got you and dad. Get one now at a store near you or as a part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. That's dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. Back after this, Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Maria Stackhouse, LPGA golfer and proud Stanford alum, going to join us in about 10 minutes here. She's a part of some pretty impressive things on and off the course that we're excited to talk to her about here. Mike Golick Jr., but we got Chinee Agumake back, speaking of our true blue blood Stanford in the house right here. Also, LA Sparks superstar, two-time WNBA All-Star, and host of the Chiney podcast. We've got a new episode dropping today. Chiney, as we've got all this NBA news circulating right now, waiting on James Harden's hamstring, trying to figure out if Joel Embiid's got enough gas in the tank, you got to sit down with Baron Davis, someone who knows a little bit of everything around the NBA. It had to be pretty cool.
Yes, the cat's out of the bag. Let's go. BD, Baron Davis, two-time NBA All-Star, joining the Chiney pod. And he dropped a lot of knowledge, especially with these, you know, he's a smaller guard, but he was super athletic. So especially with the Donovan Mitchells, Trae Youngs, but his favorite, you're going to have to listen to the podcast to find his favorite player right now. And he gave a really good story about Shaq. So it was funny.
Oh, all right. Listen, I'm all here for Shaq stories right now. As someone who watches inside the NBA like everyone else and just waits to see how he will championship shame Charles Barkley on any given day. Feel like a good Shaq story is always worthwhile in this. Plus, I saw on some Instagram post he's got abs now, which is scary.
Okay, that must be an old one because he sometimes fakes it. I think it's a fake. I think it's a spoof.
Oh, really?
It might be. I mean, if he's got abs again, that'll be awesome. But there was one time as the TV crew, y'all. I'm not just like reaching under my shirt. I'm putting my lav microphone on. the TV crew just got me here. But yeah, sometimes he goes and, you know, does some funny things with his abs. But if they're real, shout out to Shaq, okay?
God, I'm so dumb getting got by the internet at this point, so I'm going to get myself away.
Wait, can we digress since I'm just joining here? Because I got, you know how we get got, like you said, by the internet? I got by going onto, like, plastic surgeons' Instagram, like Dr. Miami and then all these other ones, just because it's fascinating to watch, like, these, you know, what they do, the before and afters. And there is a procedure for men. Like an abs procedure that you can go and get like the abs sculpt for men.
Really?
Would you ever do that, Junior?
Chiney, I would never go that route here because like I've been big for so long. I'm just kind of comfortable with it. Like I'll get there on my own if we're ever going to find any sort of ab underneath all of this. But I'll tell you what, our neighbors to the north in Spain and Fitz, Jason Fitz for years has been talking about wanting to get his tummy worked on here. So we might have to get him hooked up with a doctor because Jason Fitz, I don't feel like for the right price, like it would have to be a discount, but I don't think he's above buying abs.
Oh, glad to know. We got people out here in Cali for that, okay?
You know what? Listen, I am excited to meet those people and just have them look at me and go, son, you know we could help you, right?
We got you covered. Like, come on.
We could help fix you with all this here.
No, you're good. You don't need nothing. And neither does Jason Fitz, okay?
Jason might need a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. So no one's got to worry about any abs in Philadelphia right now, Chiney. But if someone could get a new knee for Joel Embiid, I feel like the Sixers might be in line for that right now. Because last night, Chiney was disheartening, I think, for me. Not because I think the outcome of the series is going to be any different for the Philadelphia 76ers, but because the outcome of the NBA playoffs overall seems like it's in doubt. How concerned were you watching Joel Embiid go 0-for-12 in the second half of this game? Do you think this series is in jeopardy at all for the Sixers based off what you saw?
I don't think it's so much in jeopardy. Maybe this postseason a little bit more because the Hawks stormed back in true fashion the way they would at home. They hit some of those momentum, adrenaline, get the crowd up out of their seats shots. And it was inspiring basketball. And, you know, I tweeted it yesterday. I was like, yo, like, well, I didn't put yo on my tweet, but I was, the Hawks, they definitely need to be, oh my gosh. The Hawks need to be celebrated.
Help.
No, I'm good. The Hawks need to be celebrated because, you know, this team was in the middle of a struggle bus. Midway through the season, they made the very difficult, you know, decision to part ways with Lloyd Pierce, who is a beloved figure in the NBA. And then all of a sudden, everything started coming together. Sometimes you just need a different voice. And they started winning, and they evened up the series 2-apiece. But it's still not, like, enough that makes me think that this Philadelphia 76ers team with banged up a little bit Joel Embiid, you know, they can't beat them. You know, they can. He had a great look at the rim, the best look downhill, where if it was the first half, that game probably would have gone the Sixers' way, but it was the second half where that knee was really starting to bother him. And lastly, Junior, I totally understand this. You know, as someone that dealt with microfracture surgery in my right knee in 2014, Achilles surgery in my left ankle in 2016, and I'm not currently playing right now because they're trying to protect me at all costs, the LA Sparks, and just be smart with how they use me, ramp me back up after not playing for 2 years. These things, like once you have those issues, you're never going to be 100%. We always hope, Junior, to be like back in our high school days where like the worst thing was doing a suicide that back and forth, you know, everyone knows the suicide drill where you're like,
oh yeah, the baseline, on the line,
the opposite free throw, and then half court, and then same side free throw in like 35 seconds or 30 seconds for our men's team. Like, during those times in high school, you'd just be so happy that like, oh, I'm tired. Like, you weren't even feeling anything when you ran. As a pro, you feel things. And for Joel Embiid, I just think, Junior, it's tough. It was hard for me, especially as someone who has dealt with injuries, to watch that, because it takes another mental hurdle to stay out there when you know you're not 100%. And I think now the public knows, look, like, this is not easy for him. And yeah, you know, we might be in jeopardy versus the Hawks, but they still have the talent, the requisite talent, to be able to close out the series too.
Yeah, Chiney, I think they're absolutely capable of closing out this series. Now, they're going to need Ben Simmons to show up a lot more than he did in the second half of that game. Because the fact that we talk about John Collins and say, man, he did such a good job strapping up Tobias Harris in that game, and we don't even mention Ben Simmons as a part of that conversation, is a problem. But, Chiney, I'm a little more worried about what comes after this, because what we saw in the West was Chris Paul swept the Nuggets. Chris Paul and the Suns got done in four games. He gets to rest that shoulder that I'm sure is still somewhat of a problem, but now he's got time. And no matter what, this is going to have to go at least six for the 76ers before they figure out what they're going to face, who's going to come out of the other series. And that's less rest time for Joel Embiid that makes me concerned. I thought, looking at the playoffs, looking at the way all teams had played, especially for the first two games for the Sixers, this could very well be their Eastern Conference for the taking this year. But today, if the war of attrition starts to affect Joel Embiid, this seems like it's going to open up for the Bucks right now pretty perfectly.
Look, Junior, I was concerned the same way. Like, I want to see a playoffs with 100% Joel Embiid and even Brooklyn at full strength. I want everyone healthy. LeBron James, AD, like, that's the optimal situation. But that extra rest, I think the Utah Jazz had 6 full days before they had to play the Clippers in round 2. And now look at the Clippers. They're looking dominant, you know? And so it's when you're nursing injuries, that extra time will help. But sometimes, you know, some teams find ways to overcome it. But this series got interesting. And you know what was super annoying, Junior? Seeing all of Atlanta and Twitter just going crazy, just celebrating. I mean, I'm very happy for the Hawks overall, based on what I outlined earlier. But like, Atlanta fans, they've just been waiting to come out of the woodworks, and they've been getting off like years worth of tweets right now in like the last few days.
I can say Atlanta fans, like our friend L. Duncan, are living their best life after what they saw in that performance last night, and they deserve it. There's a conversation to be had about what Atlanta's built. We said so much about the Knicks being able to go and recruit superstars based on what they did this season. Who wouldn't want to play next to Trae Young, dishing out 15-plus assists last night? Who wouldn't want to play on that team that's been able to accomplish so much despite being the lesser talented team in this series? But coming up next, I want to make two groups of people happy. Atlanta is going to get to be very happy, as are fans of the Stanford Cardinal. We are going to bring them together for one illustrious guest, and we're going to do that next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. In addition to being a proud member of the LA Sparks, we always fly our college flags around here. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame and Stanford in the building here. And if some is great, then more is better. We bring on enough of my Notre Dame friends in here that we thought we needed to get a little more Cardinal in the building right now. So we go to the Goodyear Hotline, where LPGA golfer Mariah Stackhouse is kind enough to join us here. And Mariah, we appreciate the time in here. Chiney gets a little bit lonely every once in a while, being so far from Palo Alto down here in Los Angeles. So we try to make her feel a little more at home. We appreciate you.
Welcome, Mariah.
Hey, what's going on, Chiney? I'm happy to bring some Cardinal Red in the house with you.
I'm loving it, and I've been a big fan of yours, and I'm so glad we get to talk, and especially on this platform. And let's rub it in Junior's faces for a few minutes. Stanford, there's a great legacy that we have with golf there. Some of the legends that have passed through, have you been able to foster relationships with them? Because when I was a freshman, I think you were a freshman when I was like a senior, when I was a freshman, Michelle Lee was there, and my sister was able to, you know, create a bond with her. They were close, like, in rooms. Like, they had lived in the same building. We know how that goes. But have you been able to foster relationships with some of the greats that have come through the Stanford golf program?
Yeah, for sure. So out here on tour now, being out here on tour with Michelle for the last 5 years, I've gotten to build a relationship with her. She's so cool. And she has that, you know, big Stanford legacy in the golf community. And then, you know, we got one of the greatest athletes of all time to tote, or one of the greatest athletes and the greatest golfer of all time to tote. You know, we got TW in the house from Stanford, too. So Stanford's pulling his weight in the golf world for sure. And I've been lucky to get to know quite a few of the vets that have come before and learn what I can and build those relationships. It's been cool.
Mariah Stackhouse joining us here on Tanango Jr. on ESPN Radio, LPGA Golf Store. And we're missing one name because she was my academic advisor. Did you ever go to, you know, the weight room early and see Secretary Condoleezza Rice there? Because a lot of people don't know that that's where she loves to live, like on the golf course.
Yeah, she does live on the golf course. And actually, I did. So I think it was my freshman year in particular. We had workouts fall quarter freshman year at 5:45 a.m. And she was finishing up in the weight room when we walked in there every time, which was absolutely crazy, a testament just to her work ethic. But yeah, we got to be very, very close with her as a team. And I'm grateful to be able to call her one of my mentors and have a personal relationship with her through Stanford Golf, which is really dope.
Now I have to ask, how's her swing?
Oh, listen, Doc doesn't play about her golf, okay? She's working on it 24/7, and she's got the game.
I wasn't sure. I'm sure she'd like come to you guys and ask for tips and every once in a while. So I was just making sure. I figured, like everything else in her life, she was great at it. But I know every once in a while they, you know, like come over and ask you guys for tips, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we're happy to give it to her. Listen, what Doc asks, she gets.
No, absolutely. Mariah Stackhouse here, and she is brought to you by KPMG, and got something pretty cool coming up in your hometown of Atlanta right now. The LPGA Championship combining forces with the KPMG Women's Leadership Summit and the KPMG Future Leaders Program, all focused on the development, yeah, advancement, and empowerment of women on and off the golf course. So can you tell us just about having this also in Atlanta, where you're from, having your family so close by for this tournament? What this is going to mean to you?
Absolutely. You know, I think first off, you know, KPMG Women's PGA Championship is one of our majors on tour. It's an incredibly special tournament for all the reasons that you've already listed. It's focused on the advancement of women on the golf course, in the business world, et cetera, and just empowering and growing the presence of women in these spaces. And so, you know, I have a relationship with KPMG myself, my hat sponsor, and that's been so since my rookie year right out of college. And so to bring this event, this major championship back to Atlanta, which actually the Atlanta area hasn't hosted an LPGA event in general in over 15 years. And it's such a huge golf market, a huge golf space. And so to get this special event right back here at Atlanta Athletic Club, it's incredibly exciting. I know my friends and family are really eager to get out and watch me play because we just haven't been really in the southern region outside of Florida that much. And so I'm incredibly excited to play at home for this tournament, everything it represents to come to my home city. And I know that everybody's going to show up and show out and support the women's game next week. And it's going to be a wild ride.
Can you tell me a little bit, Mariah, about the KPMG's new initiative involving, you know, the books?
Yeah. So next week we're going to be rolling out KPMG Birdies for Books. And basically what that means is as we play the tournament next week, every single birdie that a player makes, KPMG will donate 10 books to a local Atlanta area school. And I just think that, you know, as somebody who, you know, is really big and passionate about education, it's really great to see KPMG not only bring this tournament to Atlanta, but to get involved with the community and allow all of us as players to be involved in giving back to the Atlanta area and the community as well. And so I know that myself and the rest of us, we're going to be putting our biggest effort together to really rake up those birdies next week and do everything we can for the kids.
Mariah, it's an incredible cause. Yeah.
Yo, no, this is me, and this is my time. I want to say we are very proud of you, Mariah, for everything that you're doing, especially pushing the boundaries with making people understand the importance of diversity in sport by doing it through your excellence. So, girl, I'm a fan. Keep doing your thing and teach me your swing because I need help.
I'm a fan of you, Chanae. It's all love this way.
Appreciate you, Mariah. Best of luck with all this. We're really excited about this. Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. This was fun. I enjoyed it.
Mariah Stackhouse, LPGA golfer, brought to you again by KPMG. Awesome stuff for her. Coming up next, we'll shift gears back to what we got coming up tonight. More basketball in the world of the NBA. Can the Bucks take hold of this whole damn thing in the Eastern Conference? Ooh, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.